I've got to know it. In Mark chapter 12, and verse 30, Jesus answers the question for him. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And in the Greek, that phraseology is this, all the heart of you. And I'm going to read it that way. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart of you, and with all the soul of you, and with all the mind of you, and with all the strength of you. This is the first, the protos, the principle, primary, of most importance, principle. That was his number one thing, to love the Lord. In setting the stage for his answer, Jesus calls this commandment the first one, the most important one, in verse 29. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says something very, very profound. And we'll turn there, then I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll look into this some more. I've entitled my message, The Discipleship Road. The Discipleship Road. So if you're in Luke chapter 9, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll spend some time here. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, dear God, for peace and joy and all of the things that come with having you indwell us. God, I pray that you would confront us today. Lord, that we would examine our own lives and see if the things that you have called us to, see if the things that we see on the, all of the things that mark the road of the disciple are things that we see as we live our lives. I pray that the landmarks of discipleship are visible to us. And God, if they are not, that we would ask ourselves the question, am I on the discipleship road? I thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. You see, Jesus dealt with this issue of discipleship. He did not want anybody to follow him without understanding the cost. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny, and that word deny means to repudiate, himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now that idea of who will save his life means his unique identity and personhood. If you want to, instead of becoming like Christ, stay yourself, that's going to be a problem. He says, if you want to lose your life, then that's a different issue. If you want to give up who you are and be who I am in you, that's what it means to be a disciple. In other words, you don't get to say, well, that's just how I am. When we become Christians, we're born again, and all things become new. But we have the ability to drag into that newness of life a suitcase full of, a luggage, a bag, a duffel bag full of old us. Well, that's just how I am. I'm just a grumpy guy. No. I'm just kind of impatient. No. I'm intense. No. I'm a little profane. No. None of that stuff works. He says, if you're going to follow me, you've got to give up your life and take on my life because you're now living for me. And he said a lot of other, it may sound extreme, but he said a lot of other things. Now, I'm not going to have you turn to these, but follow, I have it in your handout. There's a little list. I want to read these verses for you, beginning with Matthew chapter 10. Verses 37 and 38. I don't want anybody here to think that following Christ is a simple, light thing like making a decision where you go to dinner. Because it's not. It's a serious matter. And there are many people who, when offered the opportunity, when they learned what it really took, said, no, I don't want that. But if you're here today as a Christian, you have said, yes, I do want that. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 37 and 38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He says, you've got to love me first and love me best. Now, we live with our kids and our grandkids. And our little grandson, Gideon, loves me. I don't even know why. But that little guy is like a magnet to me. And when I get a hold of him, he comes to my chest. And he instantly turns his head sideways and lays it on my chest and just lays there. And I got to tell you, I'd charge hell with a bucket of water for that little guy. You try to take him out of my hands, I'll kill you. Not literally, but you know, but it's precious. But Jesus says, your love for me better be more than that. It better be more than that. He said in Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever he be that of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Now, forsake doesn't mean to give it all away. It means to renounce it as owner. I'm no longer the owner. I'm the steward. Whatever God demands of me, it's his. If he wants it, he can have it. I renounce it all. It reminds me of the rich young ruler who was told to go and sell all he had and give it to the poor, then come follow Jesus. Now, he initiated that conversation. Jesus told him what it would cost, and his answer was, I'm going to go away, sorry, because I have a lot of stuff. You see, discipleship, true discipleship, is expensive. It costs us everything, because you can't carry your cross and carry your stuff. You can't carry your cross and carry your habits. You can't carry your cross and carry your own personal agenda. It takes both hands to carry the cross, which represents death to self and life to God. In Luke 16:13, he said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or riches or possessions or treasures. Can't do it. There's no way that you as a Christian or I as a Christian can love our stuff and love the Lord the same. Our stuff is just stuff that we are to use for him. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, it says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It doesn't say, lay up some here and some there. It says, either lay them up here or lay them down there. You can't serve them both. You can't have it both. You see, as Christians, we have to realize that to really follow Christ, we can't want what the world has and what God has. We have to want what God wants us to have and then let him decide what we should have in this world. It's a whole different way of approaching things. In Matthew 10:25, it said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. It's a whole disposition. It's a whole view of how we approach life. It's a worldview on our life. As Christians, we are to have surrendered everything to him. That does not mean that he's going to take everything and throw it away. But that's not our concern. The real thing is we have to give it to him. The Apostle Paul similarly wrote several things about this. He said in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's one of the landmarks on the road of discipleship, persecution. It's a landmark. It doesn't say might, he says shall. Galatians 5:24-25, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we have crucified. If we really are on the discipleship road, we have crucified the flesh. My appetites, my passions, anything that would rise above Christ in my heart, I put on the cross. And I carry it to remind me that it's dead. It's important that we understand this. My concern for Christians today is that over time we have become comfortable in our society and not separated when we should from things that we should. And we've allowed them to stay around because they seem innocuous, but they actually are completely anti-God. Much of the media is anti-God. Disneyland is anti-God, okay? There are lots of places that Christians go to and pay homage to and use their money in today that are anti-God. Amazon is anti-God. Make no mistake. I saw a little commercial blip up on the TV when I was at a restaurant, and it was all these children talking about when are the adults going to catch on and take care of all this global warming stuff so they don't have to deal with our issues. Like man's the solution to this. There are many, many companies, many, many firms, many, many endeavors, activities, things that are really not for God at all. They're not innocuous. They're not neutral. They're not for God. And we can get comfortable enough that we just don't realize it. And pretty soon, the road that we're walking on is closer to the godly, the world's road than the discipleship road, because it has certain landmarks. These are they. Titus 1:16 says, they profit they profess that they know God, talking about those people on the island of Crete. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. In Galatians 2:20, it says, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is what it means to be a disciple. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this fleshly life, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's my criteria. That's my litmus test. That's my lens. The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, of course, the other side of that is the man who doesn't want to please him who's called him to be a soldier gets in all kinds of entangled in the affairs of this life. We as Christians need to make sure that we're paying attention to the affairs of this life, the things of this world, because this world is not a friend to grace. And there are things that I suspect, God has laid this on my heart in a burdensome way. I suspect that as we live our lives, Satan is subtle. And there are things that we can say, well, that's okay. And maybe they start out okay. But there comes a point in time when they're no longer okay. And we have to have the courage and the spiritual disposition to go, this is no longer okay. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to cancel that subscription. I'm going to have to get off of that social media, which we have social media that's censoring truth day after day after day after day, and we spend our time on it. Ask yourself the question, at what point do we're furthering that enterprise? At some point, don't you go, wow, that's just, I really can't do that anymore. It spreads lies and it censors truth, just the opposite of God. Matter of fact, go on to them that call good evil and evil good. It's clearly anti-God, and I'm going to be on it for 4 hours a day because the average Christian is on social media for 3.5 hours a day. And they don't crack their Bible. They say the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And they climb right in the handbasket with it. I'm challenging you this morning, get out of that basket. Get out of that world. You don't need it. And as soon as you get off it, you go, wow. It's like getting used to a rock in your shoe. It feels great when you get rid of it. We have to ask ourselves, but we can use it for good. But it's evil at its core. Things of God that are good all the way through. There is no evil in them. There's no evil in them. And God has given us everything that we need to live the life he's called us to live without them. I'm not pointing at one thing in particular. I'm saying examine your life. And don't let anything get a default pass to go in. Take every thought and every activity and every investment and every time, moment of time you spend in something and say, is this godly? Is this one of those landmarks on the road of discipleship? Or is this a landmark on the road of worldliness? Because it can't be both. Okay, they can't be both. So it's important we ask those questions. Because I believe that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. And I don't think that's a foolish supposition. The Bible says it. And the more that we have allowed the world to weevil in itself into our lives and weave into the fabric of our behaviors and our habits and our attitudes, the more difficult it will be for us to extricate ourselves from that when it happens. When they all of a sudden they say, well, you can't do that unless you have that mark. You can't do that unless you pay this deal. You can't do that unless you pledge allegiance to this. And all of a sudden our lives are so commingled that we don't know how to pull ourselves. Because the world is like a cancer. It's like a tumor. And it grows in its sin nature inside of us if we're not careful. But God has given us everything we need. In 2 Peter 1, turn there with me, please. This is the good news. I have had to examine my own life and ask myself, is that thing really godly? Is that thing really godly? And I don't mean is it neutral. I mean, does it promote God or does it against God? And then make my decision based upon that. And when you pray about that, the Holy Spirit gives clarity. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, talking about Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You see, God has given us everything we need to live for him. Everything that pertains to life, living this life, and godliness, pleasing him, he has given us. The world won't give it to you. He has done that. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, that's his glory, Christ's virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We can actually partake of the divine nature. We can live the divine life. That translates into behaviors and choices. How we spend our time, how we spend our money. Divine life translates into choices that show up in our behaviors. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, this divine life escapes the corruption that's in the world. It literally moves us to the other road. It takes us off this road, which is the road of destruction, which is the world is naturally creating, and it puts us on a whole different road, on the divine life of the disciple, a different road with different priorities and different goals and different objectives and a joy and a peace. You see, all the things that God gives us are where God is, and he's not over there on the road to the world. And it's important we understand that. It's like the old farmer. I grew up in a little teeny town in western Oregon, and a lot of my friends lived out of town, and I would oftentimes say I'd be driving to where I thought they lived, and it's out in the country roads, and they're not all marked, and I'd stop and see a farmer in his field, and I'd say, how do you get to so-and-so's house? He would never say, go to Highway 6, and then go 3 miles, and then turn left on 242, and go up here. He would say, well, you go down to where the fence changes from a chain-link fence or from a woven wire fence to a three-strand barbed wire, you turn left at that road. Then you're going to see an old combine out in the field in the corner of the field. Turn right there. Then you go ways further, you'll see a big old tree that got lightning struck. That's his driveway. They give me these landmarks. And we do that. We give these landmarks. You'll know you're there when you see this. Well, God has given us landmarks. These were the landmarks of discipleship. So as you look at your life, you say, well, does my life, do I see those landmarks? Do I see shall suffer persecution? Do I see that landmark on my life's road? Or am I just, I haven't had any persecution, you know? Do I see the landmark of not entangling myself in the affairs of this world, but being in spiritual battles for the souls of men? Do I see that landmark on my road? Because if I don't see any of the landmarks that I'm supposed to see on the road I'm walking, I'm on the wrong road. Make sense? And God's given us these landmarks. You're going to have persecution. You're going to have spiritual battles. You're going to have confrontation. Not that you seek it, but you have it. But you'll also have peace and joy and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and power and strength and a sound mind. You see, God has fully equipped us to walk this discipleship road. The one that says, I'm a steward, not an owner. I don't own anything. I literally don't own anything. It's all God's. Whatever he wants me to do with it, that's what I'll do. See, the discipleship road is not the road for owners or their own masters or those that are looking for leisure and easy. That's not the discipleship road that Jesus nor Paul describe. So we have to ask ourselves, you're on your road, I'm on my road. Does my road have all of the markers that say I'm on the right road? Am I enduring hardness as a good soldier, or do I not even know what that means? Have I made hard decisions, or do I not even know what that means? You see, on the discipleship road, and I'm going to get really honest here, on the discipleship road, going to church is never a nuisance. Going to church is never an inconvenience. It's never even an option. It's what we do. That's the discipleship road. Reading God's word isn't another thing on our list. It's what we do to know our Lord. It's on the discipleship road. Praying without ceasing, having an attitude of prayer all day long is what we do on the discipleship road. Being patient and kind and gentle and tender, seeking God's wisdom, loving others, loving each other, that's so important. That's all on the discipleship road. Envy and strife and discontentment, that's over in this other road. That's not on that road. That road doesn't include that stuff. So if we look at our life, we can ask ourselves, which road am I really walking on? And by the way, by God's design, the two roads don't cross. One goes that way and one goes that way. So if we're rocking on the wrong word, we're a long ways off the one we should be on. People say, well, I do my devotion. I'm going to share this with you lovingly, and this is nothing against things like the daily bread and days of praise. That's not Bible study. That's not rightly dividing the word. That's a little encouragement. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't think that when you've read the daily days of praise that you've studied your Bible, because you haven't. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We're called to study the scriptures diligently, to rightly divide them, to apply them to our lives. Let the Holy Spirit work on us and change us. Like it says in Romans, that we're not conformed to the world. The world is pushing in all the time. But we're transformed from the inside out by the renewing of our minds, by studying the word, listening to the Spirit, and adopting those things which he leads us to do. There are three things I want to just share with you about this discipleship road that we have to remember. They're foundational things. I'm being a little bit tough, I think, this morning, but folks, I don't want us to get to a point where all of a sudden being a Christian costs you everything and most of your life is wrapped up in the wrong spot. I just don't want us there. There is a falling away at the end. I don't want us there. I love you. I love my family. I love my kids and my grandkids. We don't have the time. Our country, by virtue of its nature, began with us being able to be somewhat compatible with our faith and its founding. But over the years, it has diverged. We're no longer walking side by side. I shared in my letter just three case laws. Just three laws where they passed things that made things like gambling and abortion and obscenity, pornography, legal. And those are factual things in history. And when you look at them and you look at what they did to society as a result, it's phenomenal in its corrosive nature. Our world is going the wrong direction, and our country is going the wrong direction. I'm glad I'm American, but I do not endorse, nor can I endorse, the things that our country is doing. And it's come to the point where we must decide which citizen we are first. A citizen of heaven or a citizen of America. And that does not mean that I don't hate America. I love being an American, but I have to be a Christian American, not an American Christian, if that makes sense, okay? Because the discipleship road is the one that defines the disciple. Now, there are three things we need to remember, and I've got three things to cover in 4 minutes. And I'm going to do it. The notes are on the verses are on your page, and you can study them out. And I encourage you to do that. Take the note pages home. We make them so you can take them home and study this out. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. It says, first, we are because of Christ. Colossians 1, 16 through 18, among other things, it says, in him, by him, all things consist. That means they're composed and held together. You actually are because of Jesus. The very fact that you are even here and capable of engaging in a world around you is because of him. So who are you and I to think that we own something? When the very fact that we stay together and we have this life that has been constituted in us is because of him. Secondly, we belong to God. As Christians, we belong to God. We belong to God. Now, that is a stern term. If you come on my property and you take my tractor, it belongs to me. The whole point is, I'm not going to just sit there and go, oh, well, there's no, oh, just take it, go ahead. I mean, I'll loan it to you. I'll even give it to you if God lays it on my heart. But if you steal it, it's different. When we exercise illegitimate control over our lives, we're exercising a theft of God's property. We belong to him. Know ye not that you're bought with a price, it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 20? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, and then it ends with this, which are God's. The discipleship road doesn't include any owners. It's all stewards. I belong to God. Who are you, Randy? I'm a Christian, first and foremost. I belong to God. What else are you? I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a pastor. But most of all, I belong to God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we went over to Europe, we saw all kinds of cathedrals, big spires, flying buttresses, stained glass, stone like you couldn't imagine, amazing things. Nobody in them. Nobody in them. They're just simply tourist attractions. There's no actual church there in most of them. What makes a temple significant is not its architecture. It's God inside of it. And that's who we are. God is inside of us. We belong to him. So not only do we consist because of him, we belong to him. But thirdly, because of that, our discipleship has no season. In other words, there's not times when we're on and off. We don't suspend our faith and suspend our walk and suspend our Lord while we do certain things. We may take a vacation from our job, but we don't take a vacation from our Lord. We don't skip God because we're gone. There's no season on it. Romans 12:1 talks about the fact that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. You see, on the discipleship road, serving God is your reasonable service. Me loving you and you loving me is our reasonable service. Me forgiving you and you forgiving me is our reasonable service. Me showing grace and you showing grace is our reasonable service. Me being patient and you being patient is our reasonable service. You being sacrificial and me being sacrificial is our reasonable service. You being kind and tenderhearted and me being kind and tenderhearted is our reasonable service. That's not extreme. That's not. I don't want to be like a freak for Jesus. You don't understand. The discipleship road is a different road. And the Bible says that everybody should know if you're a Christian. How you live and how I live and how you speak and how I speak and how you love and how I love and how we engage each other, they should know. Not wonder, but know. They will know we are Christians by our love one for another. The problem is when you have a church with some on the discipleship road, some on the non-discipleship road, and some bouncing back and forth, it's pretty confusing. Hold on tight so you don't go too fast. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That's the discipleship road. My question, my plea for you is take some time this week and look at the landmarks on the road you're on and see if it indicates that you're off track. And then do something about it. You will only be better for it. Same with me. And I'll be doing the same thing. And let's make sure that we haven't let something come in. And if we have, let's get it out. Let's get it out. Amen? I love you all, and I want us to be the church that God can use. When the world gets darker, we shine brighter. We shine brighter. And the power of God is manifest in our lives in such a way that people go, what do you have? Like the Philippian jailer, they go, what must I do to be saved? What do I have? How do I have what you have? Well, we got to be on the right road to have that conversation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this morning. God, I give you the glory and the praise. God, you have given us clear landmarks that indicate that we're on the right road, that we're living our lives. Not that we're saved. That's a whole different question, Lord. But that once we're saved, God, do we walk the road you've called us to walk? I pray that we do. I pray that we don't get too attached to our things, that we don't get too attached to our habits, that we don't get too attached to our opinions. God, that we step off the discipleship road and pick a different one. I thank you and praise you. Let us run the race that you have set before us and not our own. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Randy. Great challenge to make sure we're evaluating our life, that we don't get complacent with where we're at as we're going through our lives and thinking that we're okay. In and of ourselves, we're never okay. We're never going to have the strength to be able to do what God can do through us. And it's exciting to see what God can do through us as individuals and as a church, but we have to stay yielded to him. We have to be focused as his disciples as we go throughout our lives. We're going to sing one stanza of In Christ Alone. If you could join me in standing as we consider what we have just talked about this morning. One stanza of making sure that Christ, as we sing this, Christ is our focus, that everything that we do, it's because of him and it is for him ultimately.